Hello, all you lovely beauties. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, or whenever you're watching this.
Whenever.
And welcome to the Too Busy Being Worthy podcast, where we talk about conscious living and mindfulness while sharing our active journeys in creating a safe emotional home within, and doing so living in our most authentic expressions. And I'm here with my girl Hannah today.
Hey, how's it going?
How are you?
So good. For those of you who have not met us before, if this is your first time ever listening, since it's our second ever episode,
right.
I'm Anna. This is Garrett.
Hello. So
welcome. Welcome to our podcast. We just wanted to reintroduce ourselves because I know anytime we just talked about, if we ever listen to a podcast, we never go back to the first episode.
Exactly.
So we're like, I guess we should probably just say her name so we don't just start talking and going down this rabbit hole where people are like, where are you coming from? I'm not following this.
I'm like, hold on.
Whatsoever
like, we need to
today.
Start from point A. Like, who are you? What's your name? And, why are you here? But, what are you even talking about?
Exactly. But essentially, just health, wellness.
Yeah.
Like that, especially like mental health. I feel like in your 20s, that can. And include a lot of turmoil, I would say. And
very
it's just,
much so. A lot of turmoil.
And I do think it changes week to week. So that's why we want to have this weekly podcast with you guys. That way we can navigate it week to week and pick a different topic that hopefully will resonate with you this week or whatever week that you're listening to it, because hopefully it's always going to be pertinent to you guys. So that's
right.
Just what we want to talk about today is really the idea that Garrett really wanted to hone in on is presence. You know
yes.
what I mean? Is like the big kind of takeaway, like the big topic that we want to talk about today.
So how are you feeling right now? Are you
really
present in the moment?
I would say pretty present. I obviously
very present.
Try my best, but the reality is we're not going to be present 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's totally normal. I was listening to a little excerpt from a book earlier. We were both listening to it, but it's by, oh my gosh, I already forgot her name. Her first name is Amy. She has this big TED Talk, so it's very popular. Her name will come to me, I'm sure, in 10 minutes, so I'll tell you guys then. But being present is not like a continuous thing. I mean, it is in a sense, but it is like something that is touch and go. Like you can't be present 100% of the time. Like, I mean, there's stuff that, I mean, think about like when you leave the house, especially as a girl or maybe even a guy, you're like, did I turn off my straightening iron? Or did I lock my front door? Did I lock my car? Stuff that you do like day in and day out, obviously. You don't need to be actively present of like, beep, like certain things.
But the thing
things.
Is you do it so much that you can be on autopilot.
100%.
And then it's just like, okay, it's a part of my routine whenever I leave the house.
Right.
You would think that I would do these things, but
right.
I just got to think, oh, did I actually do that? Or did I Jedi mind trick myself into thinking I did that because I am so
because
used to
do
doing
it.
It.
Yeah. But I will say it's so important. Like, there's obviously stuff we do day in and day out where we don't need to be, quote, present, right? Like, we are automatically
going to
lock our door.
Like, honestly, even driving to work, you don't need
right.
to be present.
Oh, my
You
gosh.
Have that route set on autopilot in your brain,
ding, ding,
and
ding.
You just start putting your foot on the gas pedal. You're going. You're making those turns. And you are thinking about what you're cooking tonight for dinner.
100%.
What your boss is going to say at work, hoping they don't piss you off. And then next thing you know, you're at your job and it's like, whoa, the thoughts of my boss just aggravating me
right.
allowed me to get here. I was thinking about work and my brain just knew how to get to work. But you didn't even know that you made those turns.
Yeah.
Even stopping at stoplights is just like, oh, okay, I'm not thinking about it. So
right.
It actually is really amazing what our brains can pick up and do once we've got a set routine and have done things for so long and how we don't need to think about it. However, with having a set routine in our brain, that is one thing that can be very helpful in helping you be present, because when you don't have to think so much about doing the things that you need to do, it can alleviate the stress from you. And you don't have to be like, oh, like, let me mark this on the calendar and add this to my to-do list. Like, you don't have to wake up and make a schedule throughout the day. It's already set. So that way you have less to think about. And then you can actually take those moments to do certain daily practices and be present and be more intentional about certain things that you're doing in your life. And you can actually take a kaleidoscope view of things and evaluate things that you maybe don't think about normally because you have other busy tasks on your plate that distract you from doing those things.
100%, right? Just like you said, we don't need to focus on every little detail of our day. We're going to drive ourselves crazy and be worn out by like 9 a.m.
Exactly.
But the stuff that is important to us, that's so important to want to like drop in and be present for. So if you guys are tuning in for the first time, or if you, it's your second time back, I mentioned last episode, I'm a chiropractor. So obviously I work with people all day, every day. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Which is one of she is really great at it. Like even
that's so
listening
sweet.
To her now, you see how lively and personable she is. And I know when I first met her, I was just like, oh, she is my favorite doctor that is at this office. Funny enough, we actually met at the office.
Yeah, fun fact for you guys.
Yeah, she is my chiropractor.
I will say, as a chiropractor, obviously, I'm so fortunate where I get to work with really amazing and cool people. And there's some people that I meet immediately that you have like a bond with. Do you know what I mean? Like the first time I met Garrett, like we were like, you know, obviously going over exam findings, and I'm just like, I'm so excited that I get to do this with him, because I didn't get to meet him on his very first appointment. We had one of our other doctors that was doing the exams at that portion. And I remember her coming up to me at the end of shift. She was like, I am so excited for you to meet this new patient. I never told
you.
I can't believe I never told you this. Wait a second.
I've never heard this either.
This is actually wild. Yeah. So when Taylor came up to me, she did your very first appointment. She was like, I cannot wait for you to meet this new patient, Garrett. He came in and she was like, he was just so cute. He was so great. Just because as a chiropractor, you meet, all different types of people, right? You know what I mean? Chiropractors, like everybody needs a chiropractor is the reality. Yeah. Obviously, that's my biases and my mindset. But like, you know, so sometimes
I know
you get,
I do. So I'm a testimony. I need a chiropractor.
Same. I agree. You do. Yeah. But like, obviously, like I meet people that are like Garrett, who's like, cool, like my friend, right? And obviously I meet people that aren't necessarily like gonna be my best friends forever. But she came up to me, she was like, you are going to love him. And I was like, oh my God, I can't wait to meet him. So I already went into this appointment like knowing, I was like, I'm gonna really gonna like this person. I'm gonna think he's really cool.
Yeah.
But going into that, what I wanted to really focus on, because we're going over exam findings, we're looking at x-rays, we're recapping like essentially their whole history. So it can be a pretty heavy and it can be an emotional appointment for some people. And one of the things we really like to focus on in our office is we want to like understand like their drive of why they're coming into us. Because obviously when you think of a chiropractor, most people think of like, oh, neck pain, low back pain, headaches, which is a piece of the picture, right? Nobody wants pain, period, end of story. But
that's all I want. I was in pain. I'm like, can it stop, please?
You said, yeah.
Skirt, skirt, skirt.
You said, I'm over
Hard
it.
Break. I need to sit. So, for I'm sure. Good.
Absolutely. Like, that's going to be, I would say, like, the surface of it. But one of the things, like, we really like to hone in on and focus in our office is, like, we want to understand your quality of life. Like, what is this pain interfering with you doing? What aren't you able to do? And what is it limiting you from doing? Do you know what I mean? Because for everybody, that's totally different, right? For some people, it was, like, concentration and focus. You weren't able to be one of the very first things you're like, I'm not able to be fully present. You're like, when I'm at work, when I'm interacting with people,
because I'm thinking about is how much I'm hurting right
and
now,
how much
I
your body doesn't feel good,
enjoy myself.
And it's like, we take care of, like, I mean, again, every bit in the sun. So like, for some moms or dads, they're like, I can't get on the floor and play with my kids, or I working out is how I get my stress relief, and now I can't work out. So that stress is building. Now I feel more frustrated. My fuse is shorter with my patients. So it's like, for everybody, it's a little bit different. But one of the things we really like to hone in on is it's not just about the pain. Like, yes, obviously that's annoying. Nobody wants it. But like, what is the bigger picture of how this is impacting your life? And for most people, it's taking away from them being able to be present and being able to be interactive with sometimes the people that they love. Like, you know what I mean? If we've all been in a scenario where like you're at a sporting event or you're at dinner, but you're on like a really uncomfortable bench and you're like fidgeting and moving around and you're like, I'm sorry, I'm not even thinking about what you're saying because I'm so freaking uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's like, and I felt like that way. And I've been fortunate where I've obviously been getting adjusted for years. Yeah. I don't have pain, right? But it's like, I know how being uncomfortable impacts just an interaction. Do you know what I mean? I think we've all been like looking at someone, listening to someone and being like, I'm not listening to a word you're saying, because all I can think about
is
funny, my headache.
That
or
is
my
a special talent of mine that I have. I'm not the, I don't have the most pride in admitting that this is something that I do. I don't do it now, but definitely earlier parts of my life, I could be sitting and talking to somebody and I could be like, yeah, for sure. And like literally respond to what they're saying.
For
like
sure.
Just taking in a blip of the conversation enough to respond to make it seem like I'm paying attention.
Yeah.
But other than that one moment, like I haven't been paying attention to anything else that was said. And it's so terrible.
I also did not know that about you. That's really, really funny. But I mean, I think we all do that. Like, I think that makes us human. I mean, so I'm going to talk about my fiance, Austin, who's also a chiropractor. But the amount of times
shout
that,
like, Austin.
Shout out Austin, he's upstairs. But the amount of times, like, love him. But, like, sometimes he's talking to me and I, just like you said, like, I am glazed over. I'm like, I am not present with this conversation anymore. And then he's like, are you listening? And again, this is vice versa. We're both imperfect human beings. And he's like, are you even listening to me? And I'm like, you just said this. And he says, and what else did I say? I said, well, why would you ask me such a thing? That is the audacity that you have to
the
do such a thing.
The audacity of you.
Audacity.
You want me to replay this whole conversation? Can you replay the whole conversation?
So, I don't think you know what you just said.
Right.
That's me gaslighting him. I'm just kidding. I actively try not to do that. But you know what I mean? Like, it is important to want to be present. Like, it's so easy to, like you said, if we're having a conversation with one of our people and it's like, okay, my brain is already 10 steps ahead of, like, what we need to do or what I'm doing later or the homework I have to do or the research I need to do or what the patient I'm taking, whatever it is. Like, we all have our mental list that sometimes, like, even if we're trying to be interactive, like if we're stressed, we were talking about this before we started recording, but like when we're stressed, like our brain just takes us out of that present time consciousness, right? Like, it takes us out of that, like, positive mental state. And in the book, it was Amy Cuddy. She has
I
looked it up on my phone, so I did not remember it. But Amy Cuddy is the woman. She wrote a book called Presence. So I would recommend that to anybody. But I listened to, like, essentially, like, the highlights of it, and she has a really awesome TED Talk. And it's, like, one of the, like, most popular TED Talks. Like, it's like number two or something. I don't know if that's still accurate, but it was number two for a really long time. But she talks about what presence is and how it's not like you're constantly present. Like, it's, again, like, kind of what we said at the very beginning, like, you choose when to be present, and like how we choose to, like, frame something or put something in a certain lens or how we choose to talk about something is really, really important of that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
And something I want to piggyback off of regarding that point is, a lot of us could have trouble being present because we are running through all these scenarios in our mind, whether it be the past and what has happened to us, things that people have done, or just certain things that we've observed about the world that can have us have a certain perception. And so that bleeds over into our present day interactions, and we project that onto other people, or if it's us worried about a certain outcome in the future because of those past beliefs and, you know, us thinking, oh, well, because of this, this is going to happen in the future. And we're worried, worried. It's important to remember that the body has two separate bodies, essentially, if that makes sense. There is a mental body, which comprises of you living inside of your mind. And that is you kind of having your conscious awareness, because we are human beings with a conscious awareness. And with that awareness, we are looking through a filter. So think of it like a camera filming, like this camera right now, and there's a filter over the camera, whether it be black and white or some sort of special effect, like any of the fun little Snapchat filters. But essentially, the filter is our belief system. And those belief systems comprise...
This analogy, Garrett. Sorry, keep going.
The belief system is filled with all of the things that I mentioned, be it our experiences, as well as things that we might have inherited genetically from our parents and their stresses. But we have those specific beliefs, and those beliefs create our perceptions in the world. And those perceptions then influence our thoughts, and the thoughts influence our feelings, and then we act based off of our feelings. And when we have all of these precursors that have been set up before acting, we don't realize that we are manifesting things to come back to us before we even act. So we act in ways that give out an energy that bring things back to us that affirm the beliefs that we already had. And then we can end up in this endless loop and cycle. However, there's another body that is the physical body, and that is us simply being. It's us having that awareness, but instead of us using our awareness to focus on our active thoughts and us identifying with our thoughts, we are sitting in the moment, just observing things, and we aren't projecting our beliefs and perceptions onto the outside world, but we're simply taking everything in, you know, being in tune with our senses and being one with ourselves, as well as opening ourselves up to any circumstances that could possibly come to us. And an example I want to give of us being in the mind and how that can affect you and bleed out into your external world is, let's say that you have a project due at work, and you have to give a presentation, and this presentation you have to give next week. And you are nervous, frantic, you don't know how you're going to present things, how you're going to talk or sound, what people are going to think. And this could be due to a very tumultuous past experience that you had in your childhood in regards to performing in front of people and presenting information. Maybe, just maybe, you had the dreaded show and tell day in kindergarten, and this could either go—
this sounds personal, Garrett. Right.
Hey, personally, we never had show and tell in my kindergarten.
Oh, there you go. Okay, that's good.
I know it could be a thing for people,
right?
And you can either show things to people and it be very— it can go over very well, or it could go over not so well.
Right.
And let's say that you have this precious pet iguana that you've loved and cared for so much.
This is so specific. Is this a real story?
No, this is
okay. I was like, wait, I'm so curious. Okay,
specific.
Okay.
Specific to a friend, though. A really good
friend.
Okay,
I was going to say, this is too specific not to be like real in some capacity.
I'm not going to expose you, but okay, no, I'm going to expose this story because
okay,
it is important.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Important.
Go ahead.
But you had this really pet, really precious pet iguana, and you are from a place where people don't see those. So you bring it to show and tell. You're all excited. You're like, oh, man, I'm about to show people my cool pet. I'm so happy to do this.
I'm already kind of sad.
When you show it to people, they're just like, what is this nasty, gross, bar creature? Ew, you're weird. Cute. And they just tear it down completely. Or...
And I mean, kindergarten.
And
that's
kindergarten.
Crazy.
That is so wild.
That is wild.
It happens at such a young age.
Yeah.
And when something like that happens, it obviously leaves us feeling very embarrassed and mortified. Yeah. And that is stored into the emotional part of our brain, which is called the amygdala. And it's like this peanut-sized—
oh, you're my favorite person for just saying the word amygdala.
It's like in the back of our brain, like back bottom part. And it stores trauma as well as produces emotions such as fear, doubt, anger, shame, guilt. And it also senses danger and triggers our survival instinct. And unless you have parental figures that were very in tune with themselves emotionally, as well as possessing the tools to self-regulate and self-soothe, you probably weren't shown how to do that. So you just went into survival mode. And that's completely natural because the human brain is hardwired to help us survive. So whatever that we need to do that is necessary to get us out of sticky situations, our brain is going to activate and have us do that. So when you are presented with this presentation at work and you're triggered because you are thinking about that time in kindergarten mm-hmm. when people laugh at that iguana, yeah. you're like, danger, yeah. danger, yeah. warning,
that's
I'm triggered.
That's what builds that like preface of like when people are like nervous about public speaking or whatever. It doesn't always have to be public speaking, mm-hmm. but nervous about X, Y, Z. Just like you said, it's typically like drawn back to like something that happened in our childhood that's like a root cause of where that is stemming from. And like that piece of our brain, because our amygdala, like when that gets stimulated, which can be in so many different ways, whether it's just the tone of our voice, like a specific word that may be tied to something else, but our amygdala controls our limbic system, which like you said, that's the emotional side of our brain. And emotions are the ways that we make decisions and the way that we choose to live our day-to-day lifestyle. Do you know what I mean? Like no one ever makes a decision that you're not emotional. Don't think about emotion as like, oh, you know, like I think in the general capacity. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Like
yeah.
you make like we all make decisions from an emotional state. It doesn't have yeah. to be like super heightened.
Yeah, it's not
you know
super
what I mean?
Heightened emotions, I'm but trying to think it of a could specific be every example. Emotions that any emotion right. that we felt over time
yeah.
and once again our belief system and the perceptions, because we have felt certain things about
right.
stuff that have happened to us and mm-hmm. you know our feelings are tied up in our beliefs, so yeah, we are going to make decisions based off of what feels good to us, what feels mm-hmm. comfortable to us, to maybe avoid feeling experiences like shame, like you did
right.
in kindergarten with being
yeah.
embarrassed by showing people your iguana.
Yeah.
Like you are going to because memories are stored,
mm-hmm.
that is going to be stored with you. And yes, that is going to influence your decision-making
yeah.
over the course of your life.
Oh my gosh, 100%. And it's like, when I think about like examples, like think about like, this is the first example I think of, like if you're planning a wedding and you're looking for a venue, like my mom and I went and looked at venues and it's like, we looked at a couple where I was like, they're pretty, but I just didn't like get that feeling. Do you know what I mean? And when I saw a venue that I loved, I was like, I just got a feeling where I was like, oh my God, like I love this. Do you know what I mean? And I was like, that's how I was like, this is where I want to get married, because I got that emotion. I got that feeling. And obviously that's like a big decision,
mm-hmm.
but, or even if like, if you're looking for your apartment, if you're looking for your first house, like you choose a place. I mean, yeah, obviously like on the numbers, like the location, those are all factors in it. But it's like when you physically go look and tour that apartment, you're choosing it based on like, yeah, the factors of like, okay, it's a good price point. You know, it's got in a location that I like, or it's not too far. But like you look at it and you're like, oh, I like this place. You kind of just get like a good vibe or a good energy from it. And so that's how we make our day-to-day decisions. You know what I mean? Like even if it's like, what we freaking want for lunch? You're like, oh, I'm excited because that seems savory and I'm in the mood for something savory.
Yeah.
That is like a sort
boy,
of emotion.
Ooh,
yeah.
Like my taste buds are just feeling that. I know I'm
right.
going to be nice and full. I'm going to
yeah.
have that nice food, baby. Like,
right.
yes.
You said, that's what I want.
Mm.
Yeah, it gives you that feeling of like, that's what you want. And again, you know, and not that it's good to rely on food for self-gratification. That's a different sort of story that we don't need to get into today. But it's like, that's how we make those decisions. So we want to, like how we ended last week's episode, we talked a lot about like our foundation and our core. Like when we are being present, I think when we're making decisions, we need to like simmer it back down to our foundation and to our core,
mm-hmm.
whatever that is. Because like essentially like presence is the way that Amy Cuddy describes it in like her book and in her TED Talk is presence. Think about it as it's like, it's your internal power. Do you know what I mean? Your presence is not coming from any external factors. It's that connection within yourself.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it's like to find that power, you need to like positively reflect
mm-hmm.
on those positive moments, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
if
yeah.
you're with your friend, like that when we have that future or we're stressed or we're worried, like if we're constantly reaffirming and telling ourselves like, I'm stressed, I'm nervous, like,
yeah,
we're switching.
That energy's going to seep out
because yeah.
if you are consciously worried about that all the time, then
yeah.
when you go into other spaces, the energies that you interact with are also going to pick
mm-hmm.
up on that. So any person that you talk to, or just if you have certain responsibilities and you have to delegate tasks, or your performance relies, or the success of some sort of project is reliant on your performance, you are setting the tone for that environment, and then you are more likely to fulfill the prophecy that you don't want to be fulfilled. And that's because you are so caught up in your head and you're not focused on being in the present body. And to your earlier point, it is your source of power, and it gives you so much clarity regarding what to do in life and where to go when you are simply being and you are not focused on the ego and attached to the ego, which is your thoughts, like not your thoughts, but you thinking, like the act of thinking and associating yourself with active thought is the ego. But being able to step away from thinking and just have that awareness to observe thoughts, but know that you are not your thoughts and they are just passing things that happen in the mind, and you are able to be present in the moment and simply be, you can sit with yourself and not only be open to like physical sensations that can inspire you to take action, but you can also sit with your emotions and really ask yourself the tough questions and come to a decision regarding why it is you feel the way you feel and how you want to handle that.
Yeah. No, I mean, literally 100%. Could not agree more, right? Because like we know, like when we find that internal power, that means we're like living our authentic selves, like who we actually are to our core. And for everyone, again, that's totally different. Like I think I said this in our last episode, but like as a chiropractor, like my passion is like holistic health. Like I definitely defy, I would say, the more traditional Western medicine route. And I think everything has a time and a place. Like thank God for obviously certain amenity surgeries when there's been like a big trauma or a big accident to save your life. I think that is amazing. But I think there's so many, again, I won't get into this this rabbit hole, but like
there's a lot of rabbit holes we can get into.
Yeah, we'll get into that at a later date.
Right.
But like
there's so much to talk about. We're just so abundant with knowledge.
Yeah. So like that's like to my core, like I know that like holistic health is what I'm really passionate about. I know I was put on this earth to help influence my community to live the lifestyles and the quality of life that they want. That's something that's so important to me. And that's a big piece, of course, like their physical health, which is a lot of like the reason people come see us. But that like this podcast is about your mental health, right?
Yeah.
And that I said this last time too, but you can't have one without the other. So it's like you need to boil it down to like finding like that authentic self. Like what is your drive? What is your purpose? Like what are the things that you get really excited about doing? What are the things that bring you joy where you're like, I know I'm making the impact and the difference that I want to whatever capacity that is, right? For everyone, that dream is totally different. Like I know what that looks like for me because that's health and wellness and living a healthy lifestyle, like holistically without having to rely on like surgery, drugs, all those different things that way. But for somebody that might be totally different, you know what I mean? If you're someone that works in like finance or you're a teacher, you know what I mean? There's so much purpose in what you can find and what you do, but like you need to boil it down to remember like why you got into like what you're doing, and like that needs to be like your driving factor for how you are living your day. Do you know what I mean? And I understand for everyone that might not necessarily be like your career, right? So I know that might, like if you work at a traditional desk job, you might not be like, well, this is not necessarily like my driving factor, my purpose. But that like if you know who that is, like let's say your job is just the means to your end. You're like, this is my paycheck. And then like outside of my work, that's how I really like contribute. Whether like, you know, if you're a stay-at-home mom, like there's so much power in being a stay-at-home mom. Do you know what I mean? Because you are influencing the next generation of kids to grow up and be powerful and be strong. So again, like for everyone, it's totally different. But if you can find that drive, like what you know is your power and how you're influencing the people around you, like, yeah, because like for some people it's like, yeah, I'm influencing the patients in our office. For some people it's like, I'm influencing your family, or mm-hmm. you're even just influencing your best friend to break up with that guy, like whatever it is.
Dump him. Yeah, he dump is him. Not my, worth it. Okay.
My advice is almost always going to be, you should break up with him.
No, so
unless there's something to work through, but anyway,
no, there's nothing to work through. Like,
break up with stop. Him.
Stop playing with me. You complaining to your friends all the time about how this guy is doing you wrong, and you're staying.
Just break up with him. Whoever's listening, if you're having a struggle.
Like, seriously, though, like, figure out. Figure out if it's worth it for you and weigh the pros and cons. Seriously. But that was my.
Seriously.
That's my little shithead advice.
Yeah. But one of the things I was going to talk about that you mentioned when, again, obviously, I'm a chiropractor, so science is something that really excites me. So I apologize if this is not something that excites you. But what you said about when you go into a space, the energy that you bring is the energy that you get back. And we're just talking about this in our office because we do a lot of training. And we have to remember, like, when we are saying something and when we're coming from a certain place, when you're interacting with someone, or even if you're listening to someone, essentially, like, we have mirror neurons. So essentially the part of our brain where we're coming from, where we have that conviction, that certainty, that like that confidence, right? Like if we're coming from that piece of our brain, our mirror neurons, like who I'm talking to, feels that. They're like, oh, I can feel that confidence. I can feel the difference. But we've also sat with that person that's really nervous, really stressed, and they're not talking. You know what I mean? You can tell they've got that like nervousness, that anxiety. And when you're talking to that person, you're less likely not to trust them, but to believe what they're saying. Cause you're like, well, you don't sound confident in what you're saying.
Cause like, they don't trust themselves. So it's just like when they don't have that confidence and they are second guessing what their capabilities are, then you're not going to want to put them in a situation to be responsible for you in any way, shape, or form. Or, you know, you won't trust them to take the lead in any circumstances. So it's really like one of the universal laws, which I don't know all the universal laws to memory, but for all my spiritual people out there, like it's also one of the laws of the universe.
Yeah. Cause it's like, I'm definitely someone that is definitely very spiritual, but I'm also someone that I want to understand the science behind it. Cause I am a big believer in energy. Like I believe that like when I like, am taking care of someone in our office and I put my hands on them, like I am transferring vibrations into that person. Mm-hmm. I know for some people that's really woo-woo, a little out there.
Hopefully
I know
people who are watching this are woo-woo, because we're both woo-woo people. Yeah. Like I'm very
get ready,
like,
lock in.
Woo-woo. But like I love astrology. I love
it's awesome.
Just spirits, energy, vibrations,
but
frequencies. You're gonna hear those buzzwords come out of my mouth a lot, so just be prepared.
Yeah. Also same, but it's like I'm also someone that definitely like had very analytical parents. So I would say ironically, like, even though I'm definitely not analytical, like with certain things I definitely can be. But I also like I believe that energy, those vibrations, there's actually like a lot of science behind it. And I know not a lot of people talk about it because not a lot of people know it, or people just like don't want to accept it as the reality. Right. Mm-hmm. But like there is a lot of science behind it. Like when we go throughout our day, we actually operate at different vibrations. And they've been measured throughout time, where we've got our alpha, like we've got our beta. And I mean, I don't have them all memorized because there's so many, but we operate at different vibrational frequencies throughout the day, depending on what our body needs us to do, and depending on the environment that we're in and how present we need to be in that moment. So it's like, if we come into those scenarios, like you were talking about, like we have those that positive energy, we're spreading those vibrations. Mm-hmm. We want to give that to our people, right? But it's like, we know like from a science, from a foundational point, there's also that foundation too, where like, if my mirror neurons are coming from you with that confidence, with that certainty, right? That doesn't mean that I have to be extroverted. That doesn't mean I have to be the loudest person in the room.
Yeah.
Because I'm none of those things.
Silence is very powerful. Yeah. Like if you just have that presence and that aura, and like you have a certain posture about yourself and can have a very alluring stance and walk and just kind of way of drawing people in and like have a nice gaze. Exactly. Yeah. You can really attract people.
Yeah.
This actually reminds me of one thing that I saw on TikTok. Shout out to this woman named Jasmine. I don't know exactly what she does. Oh, wait,
I think I've seen this, but go ahead.
But I just know, like, she's a very spiritual person. She also is very intuitive and, what is the word that I'm looking for? She's, like, a clairescent person. Mm-hmm. Like people who are clairvoyant, claircognizant, et cetera, et cetera. But she talks about the Marilyn Monroe effect, which is being present in your body and feeling the senses around you and enjoying being yourself. Like people who have that presence, they aren't worried about an image that they are trying to portray to other people that they feel people may want to see or what society standards are, but they are so in tune with themselves. They allow themselves whenever they walk into a room to just feel their body. Like right now we got a nice little breeze going in here, like just like feeling the air, hit yourselves, seeing how it feels on your skin and enjoying being you, enjoying what you're looking at, like being mesmerized by certain beautiful things and allowing yourself to react to it and not worry about what other people are going to say to it, but just letting your body naturally react to whatever is in your environment. And when you have that presence, you set the standard and you are the vibe. Talking about your point about how, what was it called? Mirror neurons. I think it's that where it's like, yeah. Because people feel that it's like, oh shit, like they're that person, yeah. And they're stepping, yes, in the room. Yeah. So let me clear the runway. Let me roll out the red carpet, yeah, and make room for them. That's also one thing that I really love about Beyonce. Like I'm a Beyonce stan and I've loved her for all my life. And I've never been able to quite articulate what it is I love about her so much. But after learning about this concept, that's what it is. Yeah. It's that presence. It's that, yeah, queen energy. Like whenever she comes out on stage and she performs, she sets the mood. And she's like, this is who, yeah, I am.
Yeah.
And she is telling you, this is the energy that I give off. Right. This is who I am. Like even though everybody calls her the queen, like she has that queen energy. And
but
she,
that's why people
has,
call her that.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? Like
she, when she performs and gets out there, she says, this is who I am. And
100%.
People respond accordingly.
Yeah. Oh my God. Without a doubt. You know what I mean? It's like you think about those people that are really successful, really powerful. Like they all have one thing in common. And that denominator is like they know who they are at their core. They know what drives them. And like, they're letting that motivate them throughout their day. Like you said, whether it's Beyonce, whether it's Taylor Swift, whether it's Simone Biles, like all of those people like have a really good understanding and grasp. Like I feel like Simone Biles is such a good example of like when she's talked obviously really openly. I feel like if you guys follow her at all, but she talks really openly about like her struggles in the 2020 Olympics. And then obviously, I mean, she made a remarkable comeback for the 2024 Olympics. I mean, no surprise, absolutely crushing it, doing amazing. But what she said, like a huge reason, like, so she had the twisties. So for anyone that doesn't know what that is, it's like a mental block. And when you think about gymnastics is a physical sport. But she said like, and what she talks about is, again, listen to her talking about this in her interviews. Yeah. But like, she will say like, she's like mentally, she was like, I was not in a good space. She was like, I didn't know who I was. Like, I wasn't really like clear and defined on like her as a person. And she says the biggest way that she was able to get out of that rut, and like she was like, she started going to therapy because she was like, I needed to like understand and unpack a lot of like childhood trauma, a lot of emotional trauma that she'd been through in the past that was like literally physically stopping her body from being able to like, I mean, hurl her body through the air like,
yeah,
20 times like, yeah, she does it. Like,
and like even with what she does, it involves you like being very assertive and confident in, yeah, your movements and, yeah, being able to free flow in movements and trust yourself completely. And when you don't have a sense, or if you're lacking a sense of identity, I should say, or there are things that are unresolved within you and you don't have that full trust in yourself and know yourself emotionally, it would make sense that it would impact her in that way. And now thinking about it, like relating what she does on the field and on the gymnastics floor to her life and just about like being very in tune with yourself and trusting yourself. Like everything we do is tied to that.
Mm-hmm. It's like you have to trust yourself, because if you don't trust yourself and you don't find that inner confidence, like someone else isn't going to trust you, right? Because like you can feel that energy, like when you're in that room with someone, like if it's like you feel a little uncertain, like, and you're like, I can feel subconsciously like that you don't trust what you're saying, or you don't trust like what you're talking about or what you're doing. And it's like subconsciously, like if you're that other person receiving it, you're like, I can feel that, like you don't feel certain, like I don't feel certain with you. Do you know what I mean? So like being able to be like fully present, fully conscious, it's not about like how others are perceiving you, which that's like an awesome byproduct of
for
it.
Sure.
But it's like taking it again back to like that foundational piece of like you have to have like that certainty. You have to know what your truth is and that confidence. Because again, like we're all the villain in someone else's story in whatever capacity that looks like. But if you to your core know what that truth is, as long as you're not like delusional, right?
To delulu.
Yeah, yeah.
We want to be delulu, like, yeah, with manifesting, yeah, yeah, and going, yeah, after our dreams, but not delulu in being shitty to people.
Yeah, yeah,
not,
yeah,
that type of delulu.
Yeah, obviously. I was like, I feel like you guys get the vibe, like where it's not like you can't be a freaking bitch and then, yeah, like be like, why does nobody like me? You know, like
no, but when going after your dreams, be more fucking delusional. Yeah, BMFD.
Okay, it's funny. I was talking to one of my friends at work, Madison, where she was just like, I feel like the delulu people are the most confident or the most successful in life. And truly, that can be real. I mean, to obviously like a capacity, not, yeah, like not like Anna Delvey delusional where she's unwell and obviously stole from people and went to prison. But
right,
like you want to be, have that confidence, have that certainty, because truly, like one of the things we always say in our office, you don't have to be right. You just have to be the most certain in the room. Like, I can't remember.
People were like, I believe
them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and they could be bold-faced wrong, but we all have talked to that person that has that really powerful tone, that strong stature. Like, everything is like that seems like the person I should listen to. Mm. And we might have no idea what they're talking about, but
like,
you're like,
please don't hurt me. But like, yeah, I will do what you say.
But
I'll listen to you. Yes, sir. Just, yeah, look over there. Don't look,
like,
over here.
Yeah, be like, I believe you. Like,
right.
I can't remember. We were on some work trip or something, but someone asked a question, and I was like, one of us said something, someone else said something totally different. And then between those two answers, the person that sounded the most confident, we were like, well, that, yeah, that makes the most, yeah, sense. We believed them. And the other person was right.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like that was a terrible example because it wasn't super specific. But it's like you are going to believe the person that is the most certain, the most confident in the room, and they could be totally wrong,
yeah,
which is crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Do you
like
know what
you
I
won't
mean?
Even ask them no questions. You're not,
yeah,
looking for the receipts. You're not asking,
yeah,
for the papers. You're
right,
just like, where did you get this information from?
Yeah.
None of that. It's just, they seem like they know what they're,
yeah,
talking about. They must,
yeah,
have done research.
Right. Like
they clearly have empirical evidence. They know from,
yeah,
life,
for sure,
experience.
Yeah.
This is clearly,
yeah,
the answer. And they,
right,
clearly know what they're talking about. And it is always, always, always the people that feel like they know the most that actually,
yeah,
don't know anything.
Right.
It's so crazy.
Yeah. Like, oh, I can't remember if this was one of my friends or one of my friends' friends. But like essentially like we all took a beach trip and it's like, you know, like certain jellyfish are poisonous, certain or not or whatever. And one of our friends was like, OK, well, the clear jellyfish, they're not poisonous. It's the ones with color or something like that. Those are the ones that are poisonous. And we were like, oh, OK, yeah, that totally makes sense. Like that checks out. You know what I mean? She's like, my parents always told me that as a kid. She's like, I know that for certain to be totally confident. And then we were like,
yeah, my parents tell me.
Yeah, yeah. Like my parents tell me that.
Your parents are
like,
the most reliable source.
That must be right.
You don't have to check Google. You don't have to go in the library and find research,
yeah,
from philosophers, from scientists.
But like what we...
Your parents,
yeah,
are the greatest philosophers and scientists.
You
of
said,
them all. That is all you need.
True.
Is your parents to tell you something.
Wrong. We're being sarcastic if you can't tell. But like, so essentially we were... And we asked her, like, okay, like, how do you know that? And she said that. She was like, well, my parents told me that. We were like, well, are you certain? Like, and she was like, actually, she was like, no, I'm actually not certain at all. She's like, that's just what I was always told. And she's like, I've always just said that growing up. Like, I feel like we've all have things like that from our childhood where it's like, well, my parents told me this, my parents told me that. And we take it as like gospel. We take it. We're like running.
They
with
are
like,
the gospel.
Like we will run with it to our grave just because like those are the people that really shaped us and like created our lens and created that outlook on life. And we Googled it and it was totally the opposite.
Like, mom, why did you tell me this?
So it's that moment of like.
Like, shout out to my mom. But I'm about to expose one thing real quick, just like.
Sorry, mom.
And this is something that I love all my Black folk, but I feel like this is something that a lot of Black people say, or at least like I've heard in my community, is we say cerebral palsy. It's cerebral. I understand.
Okay, I've never heard this in my life.
I understand that. You maybe could be like, oh, same difference. And sure, I'll give you that. I'm not knocking how you say things, but no, it's cerebral. And all this time, I said cerebral. And I was like, what is cerebral? I don't even know what it is. I just heard the word like, oh, they have cerebral palsy. Okay, what the is that?
But we
I don't know.
Like the first, like, again, scientifically, like the first 7 years of our lives, that's when our brain does essentially most of our programming. Like, I mean, when I say most, like I say 80% of our programming. So like those first 7 years of our life, I mean, are truly the foundation of how we view everything in the world moving forward, which is kind of scary and crazy to think about. But like, it's like you said, yeah, like how you heard that probably throughout your whole life. And you're like, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And then it's like, we get out into the world and we're like, that's not true. Like, that's actually not
which,
real.
Which, by the way, I never knew what it was. I just knew the term. But, like, hearing it said the way that you're supposed to say it, like, it kind of gave me an educated guess on, like, what it could
be.
Yeah, and
like,
actually,
oh, that's a
like,
part of
made
your brain.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. But hearing it said that way, I was just like, oh. It's something that people
something.
Have. Something. Some diagnosis.
It's just something people that? Have. Do you know what it is now?
Yes.
Okay. I was saying, do we need to have a
thankfully.
Little lesson? You said, now I know.
I did.
But it's like, I think it's always important to like, we always like want to like get in the mindset of like, we're asking like why. And we always want to be in the mindset of like, we are curious about everything. Do you know what I mean? Because again, it's like that mindset of like, we have our predisposed mindset, our mental capacity of like, how we respond immediately, what we think when we hear X, Y, Z. But that's a lot of that is our programming. You know what I mean? And everyone has different programmings based on like how you were brought up, the environment you were in, how your parents were, how your extended family was. If you have like big extended families and you spend a lot of time with them. But it's so important to be like, now that we are adults, like being like, our parents are amazing. Obviously, like being a parent is, I mean, the hardest thing in the world, period, end of story. But it's also understanding that they're human, you know? I think that is like the biggest pill to swallow, I think, as you get into your 20s is like, oh my God, like my parents are just human. Like,
yeah.
They did the best that they could and the best that they knew how with the tools they had, with like the mindset and the resources that they had. But it's like, as we get into like that older, like now we do get to choose what we think. So it's so important to like ask questions why
exactly
why. And again, it's hard because you don't know what you don't know, right? But if you start just asking questions like why, it's crazy like that rabbit hole that it can take you down, you know what I mean? Like I was listening to another podcast, her name, Organic Olivia. She's absolutely amazing. So if you guys like this podcast, you would also really love hers. But she talks about like her, like some childhood trauma, like where she would say, like, she's like, she had great parents, but obviously like they had faults, obviously in certain capacities. So she's like, when I get upset or stressed or worried about something, she's like, I want to break it down and understand why am I stressed about this thing or with that. So it's like you said, like what you talked about earlier, if you have a big presentation, you've got a big project that's due and you're stressed, like kind of bring it back. Like, okay, why am I stressed about that? Saying like, okay, like I'm stressed. And the first answer you get to might be like, oh, I'm stressed because the timeline is tomorrow and I've got a really short time period. Or I'm stressed because it's a lot of work. It's a lot of time consuming. I don't know where I'm going to find that time.
Which also, by the way, if it's due tomorrow, if it was given to you the day before. I just want to say that it's so shitty and fuck whoever did that. But more than likely, you're procrastinating and I need y'all to stop doing that.
But more than likely, you probably, again, and that also just makes us human, so we're not perfect.
Right.
But it's like, yeah, the initial but thought.
We can work on it.
We'll get better. Again, that's what we're always working on. Working on getting better. We're not perfect. We're never going to be perfect, but we get to make steps that we get better each time. But it's like the initial answer might be like, okay, I'm stressed because of the time. I'm stressed because of like the timeline, like how much energy it's going to take, yada, yada. But it's like you said, like breaking it down, keep asking like, why am I so worried? Why am I seriously so stressed about this? And when you keep breaking that down, you'll get back to like that childhood stressor, that childhood trauma. And so I think when we can have that awareness like around of like, okay, I'm stressed about this, but understand where it's coming from, like the root cause of where that started, like that cascade of events in our brain, like that helps it, I think, feel way less daunting. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like one of the things like that one of my biggest pet peeves is like being late. Like I am such a stickler like for time.
I'm almost never late to anything. Yeah, like it's so crazy that
you're really
you say
good.
That. When I tell you every place that I have to be, I am always 5 minutes early.
Yeah.
Latest.
Yeah.
Like I just hate being late. So
yeah.
I could totally relate to that. It's just, oh, something in my spirit. Like
and same.
This is just how I feel personally. So y'all don't have to feel this way. But I feel like it's disrespectful to be late, which is why I try not to do it.
I was going to say that. But see, that's exactly where it comes from. Like, and again, I will say in every capacity, I'm different. Like when it comes to like work and stuff, when other people are like needing me or dependent on me in whatever capacity that looks like. So I will say when it comes to like a workout class, I might be a little couple minutes late. I'm not going to be as stressed about that. So it depends on the capacity, right?
Yeah, for
but,
sure.
Like for me, especially when it comes to like the work environment, like I, like you said, 5 minutes early to me is on time. Like our work, like we start, like our first meeting starts at 7:30 in the morning. And like our, like we start seeing patients at like 8. So like I get to the office at 7:15 every single morning, just because like that in my brain, like I can like have that little pocket of window where I'm not like rushing to work. And then you rush into that meeting and then you rush into like starting to adjust and take care of everybody. Like that is such like a hard, stressful way to start the day. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, for me, like I'm such a stickler for time because like you said, like to me, to my core, I think it is disrespectful to other people's time, especially because when you work on a team, like other people are dependent on me. Like I need to do certain things in that meeting. We all talk about, like we kind of have like a certain role where we all talk about something really briefly, but it also impacts the flow of our office and what we do throughout the day because we're all working together. But when I wrote, like when I started to really think about it, I'm like, why am I so insane and so crazy about my time? Like, because that's something like even my coworkers have said, like, you are always on time. Like, I've never seen you late, but that's something a lot of my coworkers are like, I'm really appreciate that about you. Like,
yeah.
I love that, like, you're dependent, you're reliable. And what I realized, like, when I grew up, like, that was something that was so important to my dad. Like, oh my God, you guys, when I say I'm like neurotic about being on time, oh my God, that man was neurotic.
If you thought I was bad, wait till you get a load of him.
Like, truly, guys, like, he was crazy about being on time. Like, let's say, like, if we were going to like church in the morning, like, if church started at 8.
And it's church.
When I tell you we got there. Yeah, we don't do that anymore. But let's
you can't
say,
be late.
Yeah. But when I tell you, like, if church started at 8, we would get there at 7:30 in the morning. What did we do for 30 minutes? We just sat there. Like, what?
Waiting on everybody else to show up.
Like, are you insane? Like, that is absolutely crazy. But it's, like, one of the things that he truly ingrained in my brain. And so he was, like, he's like, it is I don't know if he said disrespectful, but he's like, it's rude to other people because he's, one of the things I feel like we all hear is like, time is money, right? But like, it's like time, money, energy, those are our three most precious commodities because they're finite. They're limited. We only have so much time in every day. We only have so much energy every day. And when you're wasting someone else's time, it's taking away their energy. It's like an energy suck. Because I think we've all been like in a scenario where like you're going to a meeting or you've got a call where they're like, okay, I'll call you at 2. And then you're like, you're ready. You're locked in at 2. And then it's 2:01. Then it's 2:05. And then like, at least maybe because I'm such a stickler for it, like I'm freaking pissed because it's like, I took my energy, my time to like get here on time. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? You work your day around whatever you have going on. So when that person didn't have like the decency, and again, obviously there's life circumstances.
Yeah,
I'm like,
sure.
I'm human, right?
Yeah.
But like, if something happened, I'm not going to hold that against you. But like, if there was something that you were like, oh, sorry, I was just, the time got away from me. Oh my God, that pisses me off to no end.
The time gets away from you all the time.
Yeah, you're like.
And I'm over it.
Right.
I'm through. Throw it in the trash.
And
again, dumpster, filled trash.
But again, that's also like a personal thing because that was like one of the core tenets that like my dad was so, I mean, truly like hammered into us when we were kids. But not every kid experiences that. So like, I mean, I have so many friends or like even like people that I know that they're like, oh, I'm not stressed about the time. Like we can be 5 minutes late. It's not a big deal. And my brain is like, what? How can you not think that's yeah, truly, like my brain truly does that like little sound effect. But then it's like, okay, let me just think about that for a second. They didn't grow up in a household where that was like a big value or that was something that was really like honed on important to them. Like, cause that was something that anywhere we went, he's like, well, like we would literally map up our day. Like, okay, we have to be at this appointment by this time. So my dad would be like, okay, we have to leave at this time. Cause then we'll be 10 minutes early. Mm-hmm. Like, and you know what I mean? We mapped it out to actively like get to our appointment. So that's just like what I
and
thought was normal.
And also a pro tip right here. If you do want to be on time for stuff, really hone in on those time management skills.
Yeah.
Like, know how long it takes for you to get ready to get yourself together to
100%.
Take care of any affairs that you might need to take care of around the house before you leave, the drive to your destination. Like, know all of that stuff and you will be a lot better with time.
Yeah, just be, like, realistic. Do you know what I mean? Like, and one of the things my dad always said, like, is, like, round up, not down. So it's like, let's say something, it takes you 7 minutes to get there. In some people's brain, like, they'll be like, they'll round down where they'll be like, okay, so it'll probably take me 5 minutes. You know what I mean? Because it's right in that middle. But with my brain, the way like my parents raised me, they're like, 7 minutes, imagine that's going to take you 10 minutes. Do you know what I mean? So what, like, if you're worried about time, like always round up, because that way it's like, then you have that wiggle room in that time. So it's like next time, like you, obviously something is important to you or you get frustrated with someone else, like go back to like that child. Like think about like if you're talking to a child and they're late, are you going to get mad at that kid? No, right? That's just not something that was a value. That's not something that was important to them growing up. And if it's someone that is your friend or someone that is your coworker, someone that you really do have to work with or experience a lot of like time, like if that's something to your core that like really bothers you, like in more social settings, I don't get like super stressed about those sorts of things as much. It's really mostly work. But I mean, even if it's like my friend, like if we're hanging out, like if I'm running late, I'm going to make sure that I text you and tell you. Like even if I'm like 2 minutes late, because I don't want you to be like, where is she? Where, you know, whatever it is.
SpongeBob graphic.
Yeah.
30 minutes later.
Literally. But it's like those little things, like you have to remember, like if that's something that bothers you and someone in your life is doing that really consistently and you're like, that is really frustrating me. One, they have no idea it's frustrating you, right?
Like, no idea. So that's the other thing too. Like we'll have these made up problems with people and what they do. And they have no idea that we are keeping a tally against them.
Yes.
And it's just like, y'all.
That's not fair to them.
If somebody did something that bothers you, respectfully tell them that you are bothered.
But
it is so important. Seriously. Yeah. Like, it will help just avoid so many things, any blow-ups, and going back to being present. You're not in your mind talking about, oh, they did this, I'm so angry. Like, you understand the value of being in the moment and saying things in the moment. And because you have taken the time to be present and sit with uncomfortable emotions, over practice, once you do get into the habit of doing that, you can sit in the uncomfortable feeling of confrontation. And even if it's a small thing that doesn't necessarily need to be brought up in a combative way, still, if it makes you uncomfortable, you can formulate a way to say it respectfully and mm-hmm. present that information. Because when you aren't in fight or flight mode because you are panicking in your head about, oh, like, what's this person going to say? I'm scared. You are actually able to use your frontal lobe, because when the amygdala is activating, like, your frontal lobe isn't working. And your frontal lobe is responsible for problem solving, decision making, emotional management, and processing. And really, like, when you think about it, even if you don't know that scientifically, when you are in a state of panic, you can't sit and think logically about how you want to do something and maybe present things respectfully, or, you know, being able to push yourself to do those hard things. So just the art of being present overall is very valuable, and it can help you out in so many different sectors mm-hmm. in life. And we have been talking about Izzah for a pretty good amount of time now, and yep, I kind of just right. wanted to end the podcast there with that little last tidbit mm-hmm. on presence, and just letting you guys know that there are so many different strategies to mm-hmm. being present. Like, I'm sure you hear about all this stuff all the time, but, you know, meditating, mm-hmm. yoga, even like somatic therapy, if you want to look into that and, you know, just do more research on certain somatic practices, which basically just is therapy through body movements. And it can actually help you also access the physical body, which is responsible for memories stored in your very early childhood. So when you implement those somatic methods, you could actually access memories that you might have compartmentalized or completely blocked off and forgotten about, and maybe get some more answers that you're looking for. You know, being present gives you that clarity. So there are so many different things you could do, as well as journaling, just talking to yourself in the morning, hyping yourself up in the mirror, like mm-hmm. anything that involves you just taking a conscious, active effort to look at yourself, sit with yourself, and love on yourself. Mm-hmm. And you can slowly build up the tools to trust yourself.
Yeah.
So I hope that you guys really enjoyed this episode and that we gave you a lot of valuable, useful things that can serve you and help you walk with purpose. And I hope that you like this podcast. If you did, please rate it 5 stars.
Subscribe.
Yes.
Leave us a review, how wickedly talented we are. Right. Anything like I'll that.
it's just a natural knack that we have. And I really hope that y'all just feel that energy and feel the gift that we all have. Because if you're watching this, you have that gift too. And hopefully you can find it in yourself to step out on faith and have that courage one day to do things that you might be holding yourself back from. So, yes, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. If you're watching on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe, and share this video. And with that, we will bid you a good one and Woo-hoo. Take care.
Love you. Mm-hmm. Bye.